Last time I checked, anger is one of the deadly sins, one of the seven deadly sins. So we are kind of surprised today to find Jesus so angry. He made a whip of cords to cast out, to drive out merchants and money changers from the temple. Did Jesus commit a sin of anger? Well, I think that we can quote Dr. Martin Luther King, who said that there is a distinction between the sin of anger and the virtue of righteous indignation. Still, what Jesus found in the temple was needed. Those money changers were there because people coming to the temple had to pay the temple tax. But to do that, they could not use the Roman currency, which was covered with idolatrous images, the image of the emperor as the son of God, which is idolatry. So they had to exchange those coins, that currency, for one that would be acceptable for the temple tax. Also, people would come to offer sacrifices and needed to buy, to purchase animals for their sacrifices. So they needed someone there to sell these animals. Why did Jesus get so upset? I often ask myself, if someone were to come to church unexpectedly, walk in right now, someone who maybe has not been in church for a long time, and maybe he or she comes expecting a sublime experience, expecting a very spiritual environment, would they be touched? Or would they be turned off? I know for a fact that sometimes people come to church and leave disappointed. Why? Because somehow we've got used to the routine. We come to church, we greet maybe those who are usually sitting at the same pew that we are. Maybe we say a prayer, genuflect. But I guess we got used to this, and therefore, maybe we take for granted that this is church. We don't try to make it a more spiritual, more impacting experience. Also, keep in mind that we, personally, are the temple of God. Paul, in the letter to the Corinthians, often writes, "You are the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells in you." Now, if Jesus were to come and visit this temple that I am, would he also need to make a whip of cords? I think so. He would have to cast out quite a few evil spirits and inclinations and sinful desires. That's for sure. And so when people approached me, the temple of God that I am, are they invited in or are they turned away? I think that Lent is a good time to look for this kind of change, personally and as a community, to become the temple of God where people can find a sublime spiritual presence. I have walked into churches that have influenced me greatly. I walked into a parish where the community was really vibrant. You could sense the presence of the Lord and the presence of each person to each other. And I'm sure that you have had similar experiences. I think that this is the time for us here at Resurrection to embrace this challenge, to become personally the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit that we are meant to be, and also as a community to embrace this call to change. Sometimes there are things that we cannot change, circumstances that go beyond our control. But we can always, no matter what the circumstances are, we can always do our part. I remember years ago, about 10 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, a friend of mine told me of an online YouTube video that I had to watch, which I did Later, that video became also a best-selling book titled The Last Lecture. I'm sure that many of you have seen that, by Randy Pausch. Randy Pausch was an American professor of computer science in Pittsburgh, Carnegie Mellon University. He was a very successful professor, very popular with his students, in good shape, in good spirits, funny, smart. Then in his 40s, he was diagnosed with incurable, aggressive, pancreatic cancer. And he was told 3 to 6 months. He decided, I need to do something for my kids who will grow up without me. I want to leave something for them. And he thought, if I were a painter, I would draw a painting for them. If I were a musician, I would compose a song, a music. I am a professor. What should I do? I'll do a lecture. The last lecture. It's really powerful. And in this lecture, Randy Pausch says these words, you cannot change the cards you are dealt, only the way you play your hand. And he did. He did. With that powerful talk, with that powerful book, he left to his children a beautiful legacy of who their father was and his spirit, his courage, his strength. But also he left us a great witness. No matter what, no matter the cards you've been dealt, we have been dealt, we can always, always change the way we play our hand. Lent is a time when we can decide how we want to change. We must, individually and also as a community. We need to become the temple where people will find the presence of God and will worship the Lord as the commandments expect from us. Worship only the Lord. You know, someone said that you can tell who a person is by who or what he or she worships. What is the ultimate value of your life? The gravitational point of your life? That which is of the utmost importance in your life? That which you worship? That defines who you are. That's the first commandment. And the way you talk about that also defines who you are. When we talk about something important, we don't talk lightly about it. If you start making fun of your wife and her ways, well, I suspect that sooner or later you're going to be in trouble. The way we talk about what is important also reflects who we are. And keeping the Sabbath day, giving time, making time for the Lord, defines who we are. Today, this is a tragic situation. The vast majority of Catholics do not go to church. Maybe 20%, probably less. So this says a lot about who we are. Well, there's need for a change. Personally, and as a community, we need to become the temple of God. And then, if we come to the church, to the parish, and we worship God, but then we disrespect each other, we don't keep the other commandments that teach us to love our neighbor, of course, we turn people away. Let's become the temple of God. Personally, by getting rid of all my sins, my evil inclinations, and as a community, so that those who approach us, those who walk through those doors, will find here, experience here, God's presence, and the presence of a love that unites us all. It's time for change. We always expect someone else to change. You know that joke about an American battleship? It's a joke, it's not a real story. But it was an American battleship that was doing exercises at sea, and it was a foggy night, it was dark, and the lookout saw a light in the horizon and announced it, "I see a light." And the captain asked, "Is it moving or is it steady?" And he answered, "It's steady." "Well, that it means that it's a ship on a collision course. She's coming directly at us. Signal to them to change their direction, 20 degrees. And that's what it did. But the response came, "I advise that you change 20 degrees. The captain was insulted, and he said, "I am a captain, and this is an order. You change your course 20 degrees south." And the response came, "I am a sailor second class, but I advise that you change." And once again, the captain said, "This is an American battleship. Change course or else." And the response came, "This is a lighthouse. Your call." We always expect others to change. Lent is a time for us to say, "I am going to change. I am going to become the temple of God that I am meant to be. And I'm going to be part of the community that will be the temple of God, where everyone can find the presence of the Lord, true worship and true love." Amen.